May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The gospel today tackles so many subjects. Chief among them are the end times, how to give testimony, and endurance. I was in Virginia at Virginia Theological Seminary for a board meeting of the Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary last week, and we did good work, and there is some good news about many things, yet there was also a lot of the news, and many of us are trying to take that in small portions these days so as not to raise our level of anxiety. But when I was reading this gospel and all this talk of end times and betrayal and not following false prophets, it was hard not to be nervous and shook. And so, yes, I turned to prayer, but I also turned to the pandas. Have you all ever been to see a giant panda? They are in Washington, D.C. Zoo, and they are the cutest things in the whole entire universe. The shutdown ended just in time for me to see them yesterday morning. The zoo opened yesterday morning, and you too can look at them. The National Zoo has a panda camp, and whenever you are stressed out, yes, please do pray, but also go to the panda camp for a few minutes. You just know that God meant good things for us when you gaze upon a panda chomping on their bamboo stick. God meant good things for this world, and God still means good things for this world. Today, in our lives, in the midst of all that goes on, pandas will remind you of that. So back to the end times and testimony and endurance. The best good news that we hear today in the middle of so much struggle is that ultimately the end times are in God's hands. So our job is to figure out how, as Christians, we are to respond in our time with what we have and the gifts that God has given us. Next week is the Reign of Christ Sunday, the Christ the King Sunday, and that feast day really was one of the latest additions to the calendar to remind the world that in the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom of God, Christ reigns. That the values of empire and injustice and inequality do not belong to the kingdom of God. We believe that ultimately what God envisions for our lives is not calamity, but the kingdom of God of which Jesus preached so much, the reign of God in which all will be fed, all will be free, all will be forgiven. The reign of God, the kingdom of God, well, we will share with generosity and heal where we are able and take accountability for our actions and to be creative, loving, and free, made in that image of God who calls us to kindness and generosity and justice. That is the vision we are called to testify to, we are called to endure for, that we are called to hold up as the good news in our times. And with that divine vision in mind, then we are to spend our lives of faith testifying in ways small and large to that vision. And we are called not necessarily to be successful, but to be faithful. To be faithful to that vision and in that testimony. And to endure what comes speaking the good news and holding up that vision and dream of God. We are called to testify with our lives to that vision and to persevere, not give up. The Bishop of Atlanta, his name is Rob Wright, and recently he preached to the Diocese of Atlanta in their annual council, something that really resonated with me. I feel like he really sums up some questions that people have and the answers that we need to hear. And so I quote him at length. It says, "When the church gets together, there's always big questions in the room. Questions like, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus right now? Questions like, what does the gospel offer that secular humanism doesn't? And my favorite question," he says, "is, Bishop, exactly what are we fighting for anyway?" Those are hard questions, but fair questions. And each question, to my mind, is longing to understand what success looks like for the followers of Jesus. Bishop Wright reminds us that Jesus never promises conventional notions of success. He doesn't promise wealth, promotions, or prominence. What he promises is a life of meaning, of deep meaning. What he promises is that if you have a harvest heart, I love that image, if you have a harvest heart, there's plenty of good work to do. What he promises is to place you in the largest idea of family you can imagine. What he promises is that we can rely on him as we join him in his adventure. What he offers is a journey toward a new depth of integrity, which is deeply satisfying. Success for us in every season and in all situations is staying connected to Jesus's why, to Jesus's purpose. So the definition of success for those sent by Jesus is measured in reliance on his ways and on his words, so that we can do our part and leave the end times to God. We are to testify to the abundant will of God with our lives. I see that in the recently published memoir. I'm talking about testimony and the courage to testify to God's vision. People do that, and sometimes they are Christian. A couple of these examples, I don't know what their faith is, but I know their integrity aligns with the vision of God's dream for us. So I think about how hard it was to write a memoir by Virginia, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Guifre. And that memoir was recently published, Nobody's Girl, a memoir of surviving abuse and fighting for justice. That memoir stays, even as her life on earth faded. That memoir of abuse fades not to dampen our souls or spirits, but to call us to testify in the name of God against abuse of women and girls and boys and men in any way. And the courage it took her to have that public, it's incredible. I see that call to testify in the midst of chaos and pain to the good news of the kingdom of God. I see that in a woman who I know named Alyssa Long, and she made a statement about some of the nonsense that's being bantered around, about trying to parse words about an underage girl being a child, saying that it's an underage girl, not a child. Parsing these ages and all the evil swirling around the Epstein files. Ms. Long put it succinctly and importantly when she said, hey, so underage girls are children. The word you're looking for is children. They're not like women in waiting or women light or whatever. They're children. I think some of you are very uncomfortable with that, with what that means for you, but it is still true. I see that testimony, that call to testify to the truth and the dream of God's vision for this world in the families showing up for each other, circling their schools before and after drop-off so that no one will be suddenly, unlawfully, and detained by masked people. I've been in touch with some friends in Chicago recently, and they shared this reflection from someone I don't know about a picture published in the newspaper of a pastor who participated in civil disobedience at an ICE detention center. And I see the testimony both in the one who did the civil disobedience and the one who wrote about it. And here are some of his words. I keep looking at this picture of Pastor Michael Wolf, a minister in Illinois, who was arrested today for exercising his freedom of speech outside of the Broadview ICE facility. The same facility that has turned away priests offering communion to detainees and told protesting ministers that prayer is not allowed in front of the facility. I keep looking at this picture of the pastor on the ground, and I remember that Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested 29 times, not for loitering, not for going 30 in a 25, not even for holding a prayer vigil. He was arrested for saying over and over that Black Americans should be treated like human beings with equal rights to others. I keep looking at this picture of the pastor on the ground and remembering Dorothy Day and the 32 other women who were arrested and beaten after peaceful protests at the White House. Why were they arrested? For saying that women should be treated like human beings with equal rights. I keep looking at this picture of the pastor on the ground, and I remember the Reverend Daniel Worth, who was arrested for preaching that slavery was wrong. And it was, in fact, one of the greatest sins of all time. Men and women throughout our history, ministers and lay people, have been arrested for this one message repeated over and over, whether about Black Americans or women or immigrants. And these are people made in the image of God and are worthy of respect. They should be treated with dignity. They should be treated justly. I know in the last few sermons that I've quoted some Jesuits from El Salvador, and I wasn't going to do it, but today is the actual day of their martyrdom and witness for a work of peace in El Salvador. And one of the most brilliant theologians of all time, Ignacio Ellacuría, said that in our time we are called to make salvation history as part of the history of salvation. We are to do our part to show what salvation looks like. When we witness to the dream of God for us, we stand on the witness of others before us. The writer, disability justice advocate, and community organizer Alice Wong wrote in her memoir, The Year of the Tiger, "The real gift any person can give us is a web of connective tissue. If we love fiercely, our ancestors live among and speak to us through these incandescent filaments glowing from the warmth of memories. And their courage and their endurance can fuel ours. So we endure, we persevere, we are faithful witnesses until such a time as no abuse is excused and no power is misused. Until God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." I end with this blessing of a vision of God's reign from Mark MacDonald, former Bishop of Alaska and later Bishop of all Indigenous people of Canada. And it's a blessing that I tried to learn. It sent me an audio, and I'm just going to read it in English out of respect for the language. But it offers a vision of the beauty that is promised. And the love we have for each other, it is realized. Jesus, our leader, we have made your offering. Becoming your child, becoming your grandchild. From here and now, there will be beauty. Acknowledging Mother Earth and Father Sky, acknowledging dawn, the blue south horizon, the western evening twilight, and the darkness night. I walk in this beauty. I walk in this beauty. I walk in this beauty. There is beauty before me. There is beauty behind me. With everlasting and beautiful living. Amen.